Everybody has to get their jitters out.
Hello. Welcome to Pines Baptist Church for our VBS special. Please stand and worship with us this morning.
Hey, since you're already standing, why don't you go ahead and just say hello to everybody, all right? Yep, once you're done there, go ahead and have a seat, all right? And good morning, welcome to Pines Baptist Church. We are glad that you are here, all right? It's always better in person, so I'm glad that you're here. If you're joining us online, we're hoping that our Facebook link will not be interrupted because of the tracks we're using or the videos. If it is, there's people working on it, so be patient. But it's always better to be here in person. I'm glad that you're here. You have the VBS praise team behind me, and they're doing a phenomenal job. All right. And what we wanted to do is for you to get a taste of what's going to happen as of tonight, throughout the rest of the week, through Sunday night through Thursday night. All right, so if you haven't signed up, your kids from, kindergarten through 8th grade? Yeah, and kindergarten through middle school or 8th grade, you still have an opportunity to do so. See Stacy or see Marsha All right, or talk to anybody who has one of these shirts. And if we don't know, we're going to tell you, see Stacy, see Marsha. All right, but sign up will begin tonight at what time? What time can they be here to drop off the kids? 6:15? 6:15. Not 5:15. 6:15. 6 o'clock to 6:15. Not 5:45. Not 5:30. 6 to 6:15. All right, tonight, sign them up. Tonight will be the one that takes a little longer because t-shirts and so forth and so on. So if you've signed them up already, registered them, great. If not, there's still room, all right? So you can still do it even today after service. If you have any questions, see them. Or tonight, just show up, and they'll be more than welcome. If it's your first time with us, we welcome you to Pines Baptist Church, not so much a building, but to a people committed to knowing God and making Him known. If you didn't get one of these on the way in, please do so, and that way we can have an official record of your visit. If you don't want to use the write it in, you can use one of these QR codes to take care of business, and that way we have an official record of your visit. I'm trying to think of anything else. I got announcements on the back end. I don't want to take too much time. Listen, you're in for a treat. I've been watching them rehearse. They put in a lot of hours, folks. They put in a lot of hours, okay? These kids and grown-ups that look like kids, all right? Okay, these grown-up look like kids too. They're doing a phenomenal job. Some of what you're seeing has been created by them. Okay, it'll differ from what you see on the screen, and it really is amazing. So I'm glad that you're here to witness this. It's high energy, a lot of movement. There's one coming up that you're gonna be doing one of these things. And then toward the end, you're going to be able to do one of these. And okay, snap your fingers. It's okay. They're not going to fall off. All right? Get involved as much as you can. If you can't jump, we don't want you to jump. Okay? We don't have that good of a liability insurance. All right? But if you can just do this, you can do that. That's fine. Enjoy what you see. Enjoy people enjoying serving the Lord. All right? So that's it. It's fantastic. All right, so without further ado, we just sang the theme song, which is Monumental Love. The next one, I think, is God's Always With Us. Is that the Freaky Friday song? Yeah, that's the one I like, the Freaky Friday. There's a story why I call it the Freaky Friday song, and you can talk to me later about that. But without further ado, let's do this thing. Please stand.
Get down low. You can go in.
Fantastic. All right. All right, please be seated. This is too much fun. I really wanted to see some of you guys try to do that spin move that they did. Okay? Forget it. I couldn't even do this. All right. Listen, that was put together by someone on the praise team. I'm not going to tell you it was D. All right? But she came up with all those dance moves and stuff like that. You got to be, huh? Yeah. If you don't know who D, please stand. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. She put it all together, and Megan did one too. Where's Megan? Yeah. And listen, stand up, Megan, stand up, because, yeah, there we go. Yeah, there's Megan. Okay. I'm not sure if we're doing that one. Are we doing hers today, or is that going to be during the week? Tonight. So it's going to be during the week. So it's a fun time, and we just want to go to the Lord and thank the Lord for this morning. Thank the Lord for this opportunity. Number one, thank the Lord for Pat and Marcia Dunn. Okay, visionaries. They're the visionaries, and we get to enjoy their vision and make that happen. So we're glad and we're grateful to the Lord for Pat and Marcia, for Stacy. She just stays behind. She works in the back and the admin, which is not glorious, but so needed. So we're grateful to the Lord for Stacy. All right. Now, if you're here, well, obviously, if you're here this morning, but if you've participated in putting this place together to look like this, you've been here for the work days, you put in some time that I'm not even aware of. All right. Please stand. We want to just acknowledge the Lord for that. Look at that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. If you want to walk through the church building right after the service, we're offering $10 tours. So, for your kids can be free as long as your parents pay for you and me. You know what I mean? So, but no, you should walk around, check out the fellowship hall. There's a couple of rooms upstairs. There's a lot of time, love, and just a lot of energy put into all of this. So, be in prayer for that. Be in prayer for the kids. We have 50 plus kids is what we have so far. And so that's great. All right, be in prayer for that. We want to make sure that those seeds are planted during this week. And we don't know, the Lord is the one that does the work. And we just want to be faithful with the kids that he sends our way. And we want to introduce them to that great God that we know, that we love, and we serve. Amen? So would you join me as we pray to that great God? Would you, if you're able, please close your eyes, bow your head for just a moment. And what we want to go before the Lord is just to thank him for this morning, to thank him for this opportunity to share his monumental love, to make others well aware of who God is, what he's done for them through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we come before you. We thank you for the people we've mentioned. And there's others that have done so much work. And just because we don't mention it, that does not mean it goes unnoticed by you. So those who are the unsung heroes, those that won't hear their names mentioned, those that are working hard, have been here throughout the week and throughout the weeks and making things happen, reward them accordingly. Father, thank you for everyone involved in this adventure. Thank you for the VBS praise team, the hours that they've put in, the smiles that we see, and the willingness to lead in song and show who you are. Lord God, you are a great God, and we want to acknowledge you as such. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what we've done so far. Thank you for what's ahead of us now as we continue to sing, and then we study your word together. Help us to make much of you the remainder of our time here. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. VBS Praise Team, you can come on back. We're going to sing another song, How Great Is Our God. And again, if you know the lyrics, just sing it. If you can't do the movements, that's okay. What we want you to do is to sing the song, How Great Is Our God. Please stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go to God's Word together. Parents, if your kids are out here, you should be ecstatic. I'm crying for you. I really am. I was there, and because from where they started to where they're at today and the ownership they've shown, and you see them there, it's a good time, good day. Let's pray. Father, we owe you so much. Thank you that through kids, you remind us of how great you are. Thank you for every person behind me here on the stage. Thank you for the parents who sacrificed time to bring them and to have them here. Lord, thank you for the kids and the adults and the willingness to do this. So far, so good. To you alone be the glory. Be with us now as we turn to your word. Help us to enjoy the study of your word. Speak to us as only you can. Guide us and protect us and help us to see the beauty of Christ. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. And please be seated. We have a family integrated service today off. Everyone's here. There's no preschool. There's no kids church, because we wanted everyone to enjoy, and there's no pulpit right now, so let me go get it, all right, because I need the pulpit, and I forgot to set somebody up to help me with this, so I got to get it done, but we are going to study God's word together, let me see here, I think that's where it goes. We're going to turn to Joshua chapter 23. Get that for me? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you. I think I need to put this back here and level this thing off. Yeah, it's a science, bro. People don't know this, but this is a science here. All right? Like that? Like that. Listen, you're younger than me, so you're going to be all right. Okay? You're good. We turn our attention to Joshua 23 this morning, and we said that for the month of June, we are turning our focus to some of the guys, some of the men in the Old Testament, in honor of Father's Day, in honor of just to acknowledge men. We're learning from men of the Old Testament. We've looked at King Solomon. Last week, we looked at whom? You remember? Who it was? Make my day. Somebody remember. Huh? Joseph, yeah, Joseito, okay? Jose, and it's not from Hialeah, okay? Joseph, that's right. All right, so and today we look at Joshua. When done well, there's something very powerful, very moving, very important about last words, those last spoken words by an individual. When it's done right, the last words of people are very powerful. The Bible contains many examples of people who spoke well at the end of their lifetime, and they were charges given to family, friends, and even entire nations. We find one of the early last words in the book of Genesis, and toward the end of Genesis, Joseph is the central figure of this last part of the book of Genesis, and he's dying. He gathers his brothers around him. He proclaims a blessing to them and also announces a promised future that God has for them. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 and 25, should be on the screen there, reads, "I'm about to die," this is Joseph, "but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from there.'" And if you know your Bible history, there he's talking about to them when they're in Egypt, and he's announcing that they're going to leave. One day God will intervene, and they will leave. And when it's time to leave, make sure you take my bones with you to that promised land, because the promise that God makes is the promise that God keeps. Later on, through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 33, Moses has a farewell, and it's called the Song of Moses, and it's Moses giving the last charge to the people right before they go into the promised land. He gives them basically a reminder of all that God has done, all the faithfulness of God, how he's just shown up throughout the years in the life of Israel, in the lives of the Hebrews. And he tells them, God will remain faithful. In the New Testament, you have Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you have one of the greatest exhortations. And if you have your Bible, you go there for just a moment. Let me just read some of that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the apostle is looking, and he's talking, and he's telling his son in the faith, his protege, listen, this is what I want you to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he writes, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Let me just interject right now. That time is here. Okay, what he predicted, it is here. We're living these days where people do not endure sound teaching. Verse 4, "And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then he keeps on going. Do your best to come to me and to me soon. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. And he tells how others have gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And you got to love this, at least for me, also the books. Even in the midst of everything, hey, don't forget the books, buddy. Don't forget the books, all right? He goes, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And these are final words. These are words that are, when done well, they impact people, those who are around, those who hear them. And as you and I come to the end of this book called Joshua, we have the final words there in Joshua 23. But let me just remind you, Joshua has been there with the people for about 25 years as their leader. He comes in, and it's been about that long since he and Caleb marched off to conquer the fortified cities of Hebron. And by now, most of the promised land is conquered. Not completely. They didn't do it all, but most of it is. And Joshua is no less, Bible scholars say, than 100 years young. Okay, so what you're reading here is not some 30-year-old at the height of his, you know, manhood. All right, this is a person. Scholars believe he's 100 years old. And listen, he might be old, but he can still preach. And that's what he's about to finish, a lifelong service to God and his people. He was an assistant to Moses for no less than 40 years. He's been 25 years as his successor. He's led people to conquer, to settle in the promised land. And his final words here in Joshua 23, help us to have some faithful living in unfaithful times. That's what we're going to look at this morning. So as you return to Joshua 23, again, Joshua is dying as he lived well. His concerns, excuse me, have been the burdens that he has carried with him for a lifetime. Before we begin to look at the details, there's something wonderful here. He's talking about a future that he will not enjoy. A child of God, if you're going to do life well and you're going to start well and end well, you invest in people and you invest in a future that you may never enjoy. That's how important it is to disciple the next generation. We don't know what vacation Bible school will pay off. You know why? Because many of us will not be here. Many of us will not. We will be gone from planet Earth as these children, they grow up. But we invest in a future that we may never get to enjoy. And that's okay. In fact, that's a sign of maturity. A future that he was not going to partake in, but his children and his children's children would. So he knows this. He's looking down the corridors of history, generations to come, and he's concerned for their spiritual well-being. Something you can take with you, it'll be on the screen. Experienced believers are able to see what is required for the long haul. And what Joshua has to say here is not of the quick fix mentality. This is something that Joshua looks and goes, I want to share my heart as I come to an end. As I'm about to go the way of mankind. We live, we're born, we live, we die. But what's on his mind? What is Joshua dealing with? Well, one Bible commentator captures the tension of the moment. And let me share that with you. He writes, as Joshua looked to the future, a future Israel would have to face without his leadership. He knew the spiritual challenges that would confront him. Ever since their time in Egypt, when they worshipped the Egyptian gods, Israel had battled the temptation to turn aside to the idols of the surrounding nations. The golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai and the massive immorality and apostasy at Peor were two glaring examples. With pagan Canaanites remaining in the land, the draw of false religion would continue. How could Israel resist the temptations? How could they maintain their unique identity as the Lord's covenant people? Joshua's burden in this address was to remind the nation of what God had done for them, to exhort them to remain faithful to him, and to warn them of the dire consequences of turning away. The dangers Israel faced, the threats to their life and liberty in the land of promise, are the same dangers believers continue to face today. We are at risk of being influenced by the culture around us and of being drawn away from our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all face the dilemma of following God's word and being loyal to his son in a culture that is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity. We are daily misrepresented as a religion of hate and homophobia, of coercion and radical right-wing politics. When we are tempted and shamed at the same time, the pressures to compromise increase. The awareness of what we face should lead us to ask some serious questions. How do we remain loyal in a licentious world? How do we remain faithful when we're surrounded by faithlessness? How do we live for Christ when everything around us is trying to pull us away? And that's what we face this morning. That's what we want to look at. And here's the main point for this morning. On the screen there, you and I can resist the lure of the world, the drifting away from God-centered living, by grounding our lives in God's faithfulness toward us, clinging to him with faithful devotion, and heeding the warning of the consequences of unfaithful rebellion. They're all here in Joshua 23. That basically is the outline for what we have for this morning. You and I can resist the drift. We do not live in a static culture. Life is dynamic. Unless you and I wake up each and every day and we wage war against sin, you and I will be its victim time and time again. We all waged war against sin this very morning. Some may be waging war with sin this very moment. Whether here in person or online, have to be busy killing sin, dealing with it, or sin will kill you. You will fall to it. We saw it last time in the life of Joseph. If you don't resist temptation, temptation will eat you alive. You're not that strong. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You're not even the aftertaste of Diet Coke. Outside the grace of Christ, you and I are not victims of darkness. We're lovers of darkness. You leave it up to me, outside the grace of Christ, I will choose darkness each and every time. Now, your darkness and my darkness may look different from the darkness of even children, but we will still choose to do things and to think and to behave in ways that dishonor the Lord. We need to understand that we can resist that. Joshua reminds us and gives us a plan to do so. So let me give it to you. Three things. Number one, how do we resist the drift? How do we enjoy faithful living in an unfaithful world? You see it there. Give God credit. Ground yourself in the faithfulness of God. First five verses. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all the surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord God promised you. Stop there. The sign of a good leader, the sign of a great leader, the sign of a godly, mature leader, is a leader that points not to his success, but to God's glory. Joshua could have said, man, I've been with you for 60 plus years, 40 as the assistant, as the junior pastor, all right, and now 25 as the lead pastor. I was 40 years as the admin guy, the assistant. Now I've been the top dog for a while. And let me show it, let me just remind you, I mean, politicians, right? That's what they do. Let me just remind you about all the good stuff that's happened under me. No, Joshua says, let me remind you about the faithfulness of God. Child of God, that's right there something for you and me to take. One of the best ways you can resist the lure away from God-centered living is to ground yourself that God is faithful. He's been good to you and me. He reminds them of God's saving acts from the Exodus, provided the rationale. And he goes, remember how good God has been. See, the tragedy is when you and I are a foxhole believers or foxhole Christians. You know what's a foxhole Christian? You know, that when you and I go through a tough patch in life and we make all sorts of promises to the Lord. If I just get out of this jam, if you just get me out of this place, if you just make me do this, and if I can do that, and all of a sudden, you know, we need him to show up. But once he does, we tend then to forget. In fact, sometimes if we're not careful, we take the credit. We forget. And that crisis or crises that brought us to the foot of the cross, that brought us to the door of heaven, to the throne of grace, once it's behind us, we look like, hey, don't need God anymore. I don't need to be that serious about my relationship with him. I really didn't mean he understands. Here's the phrase of American Christianity. He knows my heart. Well, of course he knows your heart. And you should be trembling because he knows your heart. But we think that that's the excuse. And we forget about the faithfulness of God. Joshua's concerned that over the course of time, people would forget this. And it's easy for you and me when we're looking at life and it's difficult because we see what we're up against. And it's a mismatch outside the grace of Christ, outside just the common grace of God, his good gifts to everyone. If it wasn't because of that, we wouldn't know what to do. We couldn't. We face what seems an impossible situation, but we forget that we're grounding ourselves in the God of the impossible. In the God of the impossible, the God of the miraculous, the God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we forget that. And we should never, ever forget it. How can you and I resist the drift? You give God credit. Child of God, make it your life's purpose that when able, and as often as able, you give God credit for whatever's going well in your life. Not in a fake way, okay? In a real, true way. And you're ready to list the goodness and the kindness and the faithfulness of God in your lives. And the best thing is, as parents, You bring this over to the kids so they get to start enjoying and they start connecting the dots with the faithfulness and goodness and kindness of God. The next generation depends on us, just like it happened here with Israel. Do you understand that Israel failed miserably there? The generation that experienced the Exodus, that is after 400 years of slavery, God with a mighty hand and a strong arm delivers them from slavery. They enter the promised land. Two generations later, you have the book of Judges. And the book of Judges says that there arose a generation that knew not God or his acts. And they behaved just like it. And if you want to read one of the most depressing books, one of the most distressing books of the Bible, as you see God's people fail, and it's just cyclical, how they just sin, and God provides a savior, a judge, and then they go right back to it again. It's cyclical. Read the book of Judges, but then realize that that's two generations from the Exodus. Some of you have your grandkids here. That means that you experienced the Exodus, and your grandkids are living judges. That's how you tie it in. And let me tell you, if we're not careful to pass this along to the next generation, we're the Exodus generation, and the book of Judges will come within one generation. So there's something to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. You give God credit. Let your kids, let those around you know and see and feel the beauty of what God is doing in your lives. Number two, cling to the Lord with faithful devotion. Cling to the Lord with faithful devotion. Verses 6 through 11. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand or to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. but you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Stop there. What does it mean to cling to the Lord with faithful devotion? Let me give you three things that come from the text. Number one, you must obey completely. Partial obedience normally results in disobedience, or normally includes disobedience. It's obey completely. Verse 6, therefore be strong, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of Moses. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Obey completely. And what he's there, what he's sensing, and then what he is fearing is complacency. How many complacent Christians do we have in the house today? I don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But he's fearing complacency. He's saying, listen, you look at the law of God and you must do it. You must do it. Joshua is sensing that the people of Israel may take the law of God for granted. And we do. We take God for granted all the time. We just don't like to acknowledge it. Some of us took God for granted this very morning. Some of us are taking God for granted this very moment now. Yeah, he's looking at it, and you see, there was a time, and there was a church in the New Testament that was known for its complacency, and which led then to the compromise, and it's the church of Laodicea. And Laodicea, what was told to them is, you're useless. You're useless. Why? And he compares them to the reality that they lived. They lived in a place where the water was lukewarm. It wasn't just like tap water, which sometimes some of us like it and we prefer it over the iced water, and we try to make a case for that's the better deal. Whatever, dude, okay? That's fine. We're not talking about tap water versus ice water. We're talking about tepid water, which is no good for anything. And if you have to know the history and the geography of Laodicea, to the north was Colossae, and there was hot springs. And to the north, the water was hot, so it was therapeutic. By the time it flowed down to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. To the south of Laodicea was Hierapolis. And in Hierapolis, they had springs that were refreshing. So what the Lord is telling Laodicea, and what the Lord tells you and me this morning, is be careful that you're neither therapeutic or a blessing. Because you're neither hot or cold. So it's not saying that God doesn't like cold Christians. You're missing the point. The point to Laodicea, the point to you and me, is don't be useless where you don't serve as therapeutic and you bring forth the beauty of God in difficult circumstances, so it's therapeutic, or you're refreshing, because sometimes what people need is not a stern look at this and up here where you're just looking down, and if you were this and if you were that and if you behave this way and if you really love Jesus. No, most of us sometimes what we need just an encouraging word. We need just refreshing. Life is hell sometimes. Oh, I forgot, I got kids here today. Don't worry, they've heard worse, okay? And some of us are going through some really difficult time, and the last thing we need is a well-intentioned dragon of a Christian to just Debbie Down us because we're not walking by faith, or we're not doing this, or we're not behaving this way because they do, and because they do, now all of a sudden I'm supposed to do it, and since I don't, I'm... No. Lift up. Lift up. Be a blessing. Doesn't mean you excuse the sin, but some of us need to be refreshing. And that's what he's saying. Obey completely. Don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. You need to know the Word of God, but make sure you also know the God of the Word. See, some of us treat the Bible and God's Word and obedience like we treat a stop sign. You ever seen a stop sign? You'll see one in just a moment there, right? You know that stop sign. In Hialeah, you know what we call it? Stop. Un stop. Okay, yeah. If you're laughing, you know it's true. Un stop. Yo llego un stop en el stop. That's a verb. You can conjugate it. I'll give it to you later. Okay? Yo stop, tú stop, y nosotros estopiamos. Okay? But I digress. Okay? This is not a Spanish language thing. And that's actually really poor Spanish too. Okay? But it's really good Hialeah. Very good Hialeah. People, have you seen how people react? Have you seen how you react to a stop sign? I know how I react to a stop sign. I sometimes roll up to a stop sign, and I actually obey the law. Most of the time I show up to a stop sign, and I sort of like do that rolling stop. It's like a yield. It's almost like a yield. I love yields, right? Unless I get into an accident, then I hope the yield was on his side too, or her side. But others, they don't even care. They're like oblivious. I did that the other day. I'm at Publix. The one of the most dangerous places in life is the parking lots. Oh my gosh! I told that to my kids, and they're the worst. I'm like, you go to Publix, you might as well like bring a lawyer with you or something, I'm like, whoom, and people just forget. I did it the other day too. I'm like leaving, and I was talking to my in-laws back then. I just went right through it. Somebody got beep beep. I'm like, yeah, hallelujah to you too, brother. Okay. And then I realized it was my fault. Well, that's how we treat God's word sometimes. There's times when you and I, the best we do is that we do a rolling stop. It's like, oh yeah, the Lord says what? Uh-huh. Okay. Most of us, we go like, hey, I was at church service today. I'm good. I'm vaccinated for another week. Boom, hit it. Done. Okay. Very few of us, we stop. We pay attention, and we adjust our lives. And that's what he is saying. Adjust your lives to God's word. Make sure you don't go to the right or to the left. God has not stuttered. He has made himself known, not only in creation, but especially through his word. He has gone out of his way for you to know who he is, how he thinks, and how he expects you to live when you belong to him. So obey. Completely. Number two, live a separated life. Verses 7 through 10. You may not mix with these nations, okay? Remain that are remaining about you, or make mention of their names, of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. You shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you've done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you the great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you this day. And one man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord God who fights for you, just as he promised. And hear the fierce compromise. And when you're complacent, child of God, sooner than later, you will find yourself in a compromise. That's how it works. That's how it works in my life. Maybe it doesn't work in your life that way. That's how it works in my life. When I am complacent, when I am not quick to obedience, when I am quick to excuse disobedience, when I'm complacent, sooner or later, I find myself compromised. I don't no longer stand for something. I stand for anything. And I don't stand strong, even if I have to stand alone. I just stand with the crowd. And here's what he's facing. He's saying, live a life that is uncompromising. Uncompromising. And you and I are just as guilty as the Israelites. So don't look at this and go, I can't believe these guys. Look at all that, after all that God had done for them. Look how they repay him. Child of God, take a good look in the mirror, his word, and how are you and I repaying his kindness? How are you and I repaying what all that he has done? The reality is you and I can be as guilty of compromise as these Israelites. And what's the remedy to this malady? You and I must center our affections and our attention on God, clinging to him and living a separated life. Let people know what you don't stand for, not only what you do stand for. A lot can be said about you and me and the church at large by what we say no to. We're not known as this. We're not known for that. Live a separated life. In a day and age where everything is, there's a siren call, there's this subtle but intentional, strategic way from our own children to us as adults, to draw us in a way that, hey, be acceptable, be liked, that's what we need. And that's how you're going to influence culture. That's not true. You know that and I know that. That's how culture influences us. And that's why you and I must take arm against what the relationships we have, the way we think, what we do. What does this say about the God we love, we profess to know, and we serve? And lastly, verse 11, love the Lord intentionally. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God.
Love the Lord purposely, deliberately. Don't love him because of what he gives you. Love him for who he is. Can you imagine if my wife is here today, if my love for her was contingent upon all that I get from her? That's why I love her, because she makes me feel good, because she takes good care of me. She cooks for me. She knows how to put go 230 start. I mean, that's cool. All right. And after 34 years of marriage, that's not the worst. You know what I mean? So I'll get a little later, but whatever. Okay, you just brace yourself for certain things. But can you imagine? I mean, if that's all I did was if Nestor just said to you, you know, Naomi, I just love you because, you know, you're just like the best investment I've ever made. Yeah, I got the best ROI on this thing, the return on investment. I mean, how long have you guys been married? 37. Best 37 years of my life, because let me tell you, you're such a better person because of me. Can you imagine how long that goes? It wouldn't last 37. But that's a fake love. That's a very selfish love, because that's a love that says, I love you for what I can get out of you. And you and I treat God that way sometimes. I'll love him and I'll obey him and I'll follow him. I'll even get up here and sing and dance and shout for joy as long as he's treating me good. Because the minute that he doesn't treat me good, child, please. I'll make an excuse and I won't. Love the Lord intentionally. Love the Lord. How do we resist the lure? How do we resist this drift? How do we remain faithful in an unfaithful world? You remember to ground yourself. You give God credit. You remember the faithfulness of God. You cling to the Lord with faithful devotion. And lastly, verses 12 through 16, you count the cost of rebellion. I am so shocked sometimes at how little attention I give to the cost of rebellion. That's why I disobey him the way I do. Because I really don't believe that God deals with rebels the way we see in the scriptures. And quite honestly, because he's so kind and gracious to me, that I repay his kindness and graciousness with rebellion. But if you see it, and you know that God is a jealous God, that he has no tolerance for rivals, then we would act differently. But because God is slow to anger, but remember in that phrase, there's still anger. He's just slow. Unlike you and me, we rush to anger when someone upsets us. When someone takes us for granted, like you and I take God for granted, when someone transgresses us, you know, disobeys us, crosses us, oh boy, we're not slow to anger. We're quick to anger. But when we do that to God, aren't we glad that he is slow to anger? And Joshua says, remember, count the cost, give heed to this warning. There are consequences to rebellion. Verses 12 through 16, for if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord God has given you. And now, verse 14, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass. None of them have failed. But just as the good things that the Lord God, your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. Count the cost of rebellion. These are strong words. These are not words that you and I are used to hearing. We're used to hearing this, you know, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food I ate, and, you know, and this little, you know, oh gosh, and, you know, he's, you know, he just, oh, you know, you're such a good kid, and yeah, God has monumental love, you're right. But when that love is transgressed, he reacts. just like you react when your love is transgressed, when your kindness is transgressed, when you're kind to someone and they repay you with hostility, when they repay you the wrong way. You know that indignation? What do you think that's rooted? That's rooted in the image of God that you have. You know how to behave that way because God behaves that way. The difference is, his is righteous indignation. Yours and mine, they're just sinful indignation. Count the cost of rebellion. God always keeps his word. And God's word is always positive and can be also negative. And Josh is saying, be careful. You choose to sin, you choose to suffer. Take that with you. I forget. Because if you're paying attention to anything I'm saying, I'm about to say like lunch, you know what I mean? And everybody's like, what? All right. You choose to sin, you're choosing to suffer. Child of God, choose to sin, you choose to suffer because the Lord has to intervene. He loves you too much not to intervene. He may take you just as you are, but he doesn't leave you just as you are. He loves you too much. So therefore, he has to intervene. He has to correct the behavior. And here, the rebellion, and he says it, if you don't do this, you've enjoyed the blessings of God, you will enjoy the curses of God. And here's the sad part, 800 years later or so, okay, after much abandonment of the law, after much pursuing the worship of pagan gods, the destruction of the northern tribes came in 722 B.C. And a couple hundred years later, just about, in 586 B.C., the southern kingdom fell. Just like God had said, and he has said, as easily as I give you this land, I can take it from you. But it took, after 800 years of constant unfaithfulness, constant rebellion, child of God, he is slow to anger, but he will deal with your sin, and he will deal with mine. So don't take him for granted. Count the cost. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to take on the Lord himself? Imagine you and I waking up this morning and the first thing we realize is that God is not for us, but against us. Again, we're not used to that kind of conversation because American Christianity is you're worth it, you're this, you're that. And listen, God is a jealous God. And as we conclude, listen to the words from this one Bible commentator, and he's also a pastor, and he writes the following. And just I'll read most of it, and then there's going to be a part that I'll let you know, and it'll be on the screen. But for now, just listen. Faithfulness boils down to this. To whom will you cling? The Bible, as this passage illustrates, often expresses this point through the relationship of a husband and wife. Are you going to marry someone and cling to that person because he or she will help you to cling closer to God? The biblical standard for marriage has not changed. The believer must marry in the Lord. What Joshua forbade in this passage was not interracial marriage. The Bible never forbids interracial marriage. And to use a text like this to argue for such is to abuse the word of God. The point here is not to marry someone who doesn't have the same belief. Do not marry someone outside of the covenant. A person who does not believe the same promises and embrace the same hope will lead you away from God and cause you untold suffering. One simple practice can help you to be a safeguard against disobeying this biblical principle. If you don't date an unbeliever, you'll never marry one. If you want to see just how serious this issue is, look at the life of Solomon. Did anyone ever embark on his career a better situation than he? He was God's anointed king. His father provided for him to build a temple. The Lord himself appeared to him and granted his plea for wisdom. He became fabled for his insight and wealth. Then he turned from God. Why? After all that the Lord had done for him, and after all he had done in service to God, would he turn to idols? We find the answer in 1 Kings 11:2. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people, don't enter into marriage with them. Neither shall they with you, for they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. You see the contrast? He clung to these forbidden women rather than to his faithful God. Yet there's more involved here than just marriage. As Christians, we must be careful of the associations we make and the attachments we form. Of course, we cannot go out of the world and still fulfill the will of God, nor should we refuse to have unbelievers as friends. Jesus himself was a friend of sinners. Note, however, the way Jesus handled those friendships. He went into them with the explicit goal of turning his friends from their sin. He went into their friendship with the goal of shining the light of his truth into the relationship. And he ends with this on the screen. In the end, the question of faithfulness comes down to this: to whom will you cling? Will you look to Christ? Will you trust in him and love him with all your heart? Will you heed his warnings and turn away from any alliance that will pull you away from the absolute loyalty to him? Or will you cling to something or someone else? Again, this pastor and theologian, he's right on. He's right on. There's practical consequences to the life you and I choose to live. So where are you this morning? Do you feel far from the Lord? Do you feel your heart conflicted? Your heart is divided? If it should be divided, and it's not, listen, that's the question you need to be asking. Is your heart divided? Have other things or have other people become more important to you than the Lord himself? If so, you need to realign. That's the bottom line. You need to realign. Number two, are you taking a casual approach to God's commands? Disobedience is a pipe dream. Disobedience doesn't pay. Disobedience is underdelivers. Underdelivers. Always. That's just it by nature. It promises much and underdelivers. Are you taking a casual approach? Are you serious about when you see something in God's word and he says, this is how I want you to behave. This is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to think, because we love each other, because we're in covenant together, and because you belong to me. This is how I want you to represent me in all areas of life, in the different areas of life, and in the different relationships you have. I want you to behave this way. I want you to have this morality, this reality, this, your affections must be God-centered. How quickly do we adjust? Next, have you forgotten the greatness of God and started taking him for granted? I know I'm guilty there. There's times in my life, there's periods of life, well, I just take him for granted. It can happen in marriage. And if it can happen in that relationship, how quickly can it not happen in a relationship with someone we don't see every day, but we love and we follow by faith? If I can take my spouse for granted, I can definitely take my God for granted. And I have. I'm guilty on both. Are you? Have you forgotten the greatness of God, and you just have taken him for granted? And lastly, is it possible that you aren't even a part of God's family yet? See, it starts there. You need to enter into covenant. You need to be a part of the covenant community. You need to be part. The Bible says that he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, the privilege, the power, the label, the reality, the relationship to be children of God. So are you here this morning? Are you his child? Have you looked at this monumental love that God has shown to you in Christ, and have you embraced it? Have you embraced it? If you haven't, today is the day to do so. How's your life living? How are you living your life, better said, child of God? Is your life a beacon of hope and holiness? Is your life telling the story that God is great? If not, repentance. You turn to him today. Let's pray. If you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. A few moments we're going to pray, and in a few moments we'll go ahead and sing, and the VBS praise team will be back with us, and we will enjoy. But for right now, would you consider where you're at with the Lord? Would you take a good look at how you're living before the Lord, and how you are, what does your life represent? Thank you. Why not turn to Christ today? For the very first time, perhaps. And if not, child of God, why not turn to the Lord? Say, Lord, I have taken you for granted. I am living in a way that doesn't honor you. And I want you to be, oh Lord, you are in charge. You're in charge. So Lord God, help us to live lives that reflect the reality that you're in charge. And maybe for some this morning, they need to make that a reality, to declare that you're in charge. Would you help us to do so? Thank you for your word. Thank you for being so kind and gracious. We love you. We trust you. We need you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. VBS Praise Team, you're now coming up. The song is You're in Charge. I don't know which word you have to take. All right. Let's stand. Let's join them. Look at those smiles. And while we're singing, let's take care of business with the Lord. All right, good job. Please be seated. Please be seated for just a few moments. Let me just remind you about some of the announcements, and then we'll be out of here. We will have one more song, and then we'll go from there. Today's the last day on the way out to make your order or to finalize your order for the pavers. All right, you've seen them on the way in. If you haven't done so, today is the last day. So if you've placed an order but you haven't paid for it, today is the day. All right? If you want to do something, today is the day. See one of the members of the finance team on the way out. They'll give you all the details about the pavers. All right? I have a couple of other things here. Let me see. We have the Molly Coulter Memorial at Sheridan Hills, July 9th. We have her family here with us. Just want to let you know, if you have any questions about that, check with Cheryl. Where's Cheryl? I saw. Okay, you have the Martin family back there. Okay, so make sure you talk to her. It's coming up July 9th at Sheridan Hills. Is there a time right now, Cheryl? 10 a.m.? Okay, 10 a.m., July 9th. All right? And let me just deal with the elephant in the room, because unless you've decided not to live life, you're well aware of what happened this week on Friday with the ruling from the Supreme Court. So let me give you, you should. But let me share with you some facts over fears, because what it really means, so you don't start arguing the wrong way. Please do not argue because you saw it on Fox or CNN. Don't start quoting your favorite person from the TV or social media. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I began to do it. Read the actual briefing. Read the actual opinion of the court. 213 pages. If you don't read it, be careful to comment on it. Because we have a whole slew on both sides of the aisle that are saying, and they're just misinforming. Though I agree with it, just remember that this did not ban abortion. My wife and others have come to me, oh, abortion is illegal. No, it's unconstitutional. That's what they said. They dealt with the constitutionality of Roe v. Wade and Casey. And what they said, just so you know, because I bookmarked it on my phone, I'm reading from the SupremeCourt.gov document, page about 14, all right? Then you scroll down to 51, and they give you their five reasons why the 5-4, okay? Because there was two rulings, and one ruling was 6-3, and the other ruling, the Roe v. Wade overturn, was 5-4. Chief Justice Roberts did not go with the 5 majority. He sided with the 4 in dissent. So there was dissent. You can read that. The dissent is 60 pages long. Okay, read it. Understand the argument. What they said, what the prevailing those justices said, and I quote, "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision." That's it. They didn't argue the morality of abortion. They argued the constitutionality of abortion. Now it goes, this life and death decision goes back where it should be. Not in the hands of robed, unelected people, but to the hands of the people. So life and death, now doesn't begin the work. We've been working for 50 years, since 1973. Now's the time, if you're a believer and you're a child of God, to redouble your effort in looking at crisis pregnancy centers and looking at pro-life causes, because we're going to need to do that so we can also continue to provide help and hope to women who need it and men who need it. And this thing about what someone was telling me already, that there's politicians talking about birthing persons. You know that that's just talking points. Birthing person, women are the ones who give birth. I don't care what you know. I know that the big deal is what is a woman and all that jive. If you can't answer that, I really don't want to really be talking to you. Okay. So the reality, though, that was perfectly placed right back there. You know, this is in the back. You know. But the reality is, you and I, this is a great moment for you and me. I told my wife, you don't start arguing on the morality. That's not what the Supreme Court, oh no, the government's going to force us to have babies. Really? So did you have relations with the government? It doesn't make sense. We're not here to argue the morality. We can argue the morality, but that ruling wasn't about the morality. All it did was change the direction, and it said it doesn't get determined by the courts. It gets determined by the vote of the people and their elected representatives. So there's still abortion laws in the state of Florida for 15 weeks. After 15 weeks, it's different. The first 15 weeks, that's a trimester. At least, there's still the laws on the land. Now, there's states that are moving quickly to ban it and outlaw it, and you're going to have this reaction. There's already companies going on record, the happiest place in the world where it was always magical. They're going to pay their employees to travel wherever they need to travel, and it's going to be called abortion tourism. Imagine. because they're going to pay, they're going to make it available. And like that, please, you think that they're going to be the only ones, that Disney's the only one that's going on record? Believe you me, maybe places where you work will do the same. But we're not here to argue the ruling was not the morality. The ruling was saying it's unconstitutional. It took us 50 years to figure out that another Supreme Court did wrong. And they didn't go about it. This ruling here, just hearsay. Read the opinion of the court. Don't quote your favorite newscaster, your favorite social media guy, or don't repost an Instagram. Ooh. Don't retweet this guy or that gal. Read the opinion of the court. I said that to you when it was time to vote, unless you think that voting doesn't matter. When it's time to vote, you look at the platforms. You don't look at the faces. The faces come and go. The platforms is what they represent. So you read the platforms and you stay away from foolish conversations. So the ruling that happened on Friday was the Supreme Court looked at it, and because they had brought to them a separate case of Mississippi, that forced them to look at the Roe, Wade, and Casey one. Okay, so a Planned Parenthood type of clinic, Jackson Health Clinic or something like that in Mississippi, forced the issue. They said it's unconstitutional because Mississippi had a certain law, and they challenged the constitutionality of that law. And they brought it, and they took it. The law of Mississippi, the judge forbade Mississippi to implement the law. It went to the appeals court. It eventually went to the Supreme Court. And the justices look at it. And Samuel Alito was the one who delivered the opinion of the court. Along with him, two other judges wrote concurrent ones, Kavanaugh and Thomas. And then three got together. Kagan, I forgot the other two. Sotomayor and the one that's retiring. I'm sorry? It wasn't Ginsburg. I guarantee you it wasn't Ginsburg. Breyer, I think. Yeah. I don't think it was Ginsburg. Just going on record. All right. She would have included if she was alive. All right. But the reality is that they joined and they wrote a 60-page dissenting. Look at both arguments. And the argument you want to look at and read is to say, who's making it constitutional argument and who's making it moral argument? Because what's at play was the Constitution. We are a constitutional republic. The Constitution means something here. And if it stops meaning something, then we got a problem. Can the Constitution be amended? Yeah. It takes 38 states. So you can add an abortion amendment to the United States Constitution. There's a process for that. We're not animals. We're not an unordered society here. But I'm glad that judges interpreted law instead of making one. So I'm happy there. And in that, yes, they have now brought the case of abortion back to the states. And now we continue to fight. But part of that fight is providing and being compassionate to those that need our help. We partner with Love Life. So listen, if you're here this morning, you're like, this is wrong and women are this. Listen, you want to empower women? You want to be a blessing to them? Partner with Love Life. Partner with Hope Women's Center. There's a Hope Women's Center literally right down this avenue on Pines Boulevard and Palm Avenue. They're in dire need of medical professionals to do sonograms and to counsel. Love Life, you're going to hear just for a moment from DJ. They have wonderful ministries to women who choose life, and then we're going to come alongside and walk with them. And they have a need that now you and I, Pines Baptist Church, is a house of refuge. We have said that we want to partner in providing, creating a culture of life. And seeing that men and women, they understand that we're with them. It is literally the time for the church to put her money where her mouth is. And to that end, I'm going to ask DJ to come and present to you an opportunity. We're calling it Christmas in July. I don't know where the microphone is. Oh, yeah, you go, boss. Is it there? All right, man. Talk to us. All right, buddy.
Hello? All right. So with Love Life, and also you got Eddie back there too, so he can help you and talk to you too. Love Life, just so you guys know, we got 44 churches locally who've decide to partner with Love Life. The same way, this year, 33 babies have been saved so far, right, with women who chose life. So that's a big deal. But Love Life doesn't just stand on the side and say, abortion is sin. Love Life partners with the church to say, we want to help you, right? So with that right now, and there's so many ways to serve with Love Life. Landon and me, we serve as setup and breakdown. Eddie's on the sidewalk, right? He's front lines out there ministering to women, right? And what they're looking for now is gift cards, right? Specifically Publix gift cards. Because as these women choose life, the church has to come alongside them and help them. Most of these women, if you go and you stand out there and you can talk to Eddie the same, is they're doing it financially, right? I can't afford this baby, right? Some of them are doing it because they're pressured by their family. Others, because of sex trafficking. That's why these women are having abortions, right? Specifically, there's the 1%, right, that everybody brings to rape, incest, stuff like that. But most of these women, they're hurting because financially they're afraid. Right? They can't afford these babies. So Love Life wants to say, not only do we want to partner with them, church, right? So you all have the opportunity to be mentors, because as women choose life, and if we want to say, yes, we need to end abortion, church, we better rise up, right? We better rise up and be willing to say, like James says, right? The religion that God our Father sees as pure and acceptable is look after orphans and widows, right? That look after is take ownership. Church, are you ready to take ownership of these families who come and say, okay, I choose life, but I can't afford this and I can't afford that. Well, church, we're coming alongside and say, no, we know where the resources are, right? So we want to get you the resources, and part of those resources is the gift cards for Publix. So you can put them in the back plate as you get them, right? If you don't want to purchase the gift card, you want to write a check, just Love Life gift card, right? And you can put that in the offering plate. Gary said he'll collect them, and then he'll go purchase the gift cards, right? So, but that's a quick way for you guys to serve, right? And the rest is, every Saturday they're there. Most Saturdays I'm out there. Most Saturdays Eddie's out there. Yep. Yeah, between 25 and 50. So, yep, JJ. Mm-hmm. No, I get you. So, yeah, they were just specific with Publix. You know, we can go back and talk to them, and bring that point up, right? So that's a great point. But Sophia, right now they're asking for the public gift cards. I feel what you're saying there. But church, this is your way to serve, right? So if you want to take a stance, there's Frontlines Missions right here. You don't have to go far. With that.
For diapers and all that stuff that's associated with it. So at 25 is probably the best interval. If you want to purchase, you know, 25, 25, 25, three of them, four of them, whatever you want to do, all through the month of July. We're calling it Christmas in July. Okay, Christmas in July, there's five Sundays, I believe, 3, 10, 17, 24, 31. My life is Sundays. So you have five opportunities to buy those gift cards, bring them in. We'll get them to Love Life. There's women who are ready. They're saying we need it. There's women who say we need mentoring. We need to know how to do this life, and we're choosing this over that, and how can you help? So ladies, this is an excellent opportunity. If you want to partner with Love Life through their ministries, you see DJ or Eddie. If you want to talk to the Hope Women's Center, contact me during the week, and I'll get you in contact, or just stop at the Hope Women's Center here, literally on Pines Boulevard and Palm. This is where now the rubber has hit the road, okay? And you and I can be a blessing to many, many before us, all right? So again, remember what the decision was, the ruling. Don't be careful with your social media, because you're not going to give a good witness, okay? And be ready then to engage, to be the solution to it, all right? I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. If I forget, I forget. Oh, there's a VBS meeting for those of us who are serving right after church service. And thank you. Thank you. So right after is a short one. And because we're saying VBS, we want to invite you. We want to get you excited about VBS. So dim the lights in the house back there. And then give me the one and only Woofa.
Well, here we are, Wolfer. Isn't this exciting? Look at all this beautiful. Scenery. Well, here we are, Wolfer. Isn't this exciting? Look at all this beautiful scenery.
VBS means very beautiful scenery?
Well, it could mean that, but I don't think it's what VBS really stands for. Vacation? Bible?
Sugar.
No, not Vacation Bible Sugar. Vacation Bible School. That's what we're gonna go to learn about. All the wonderful stories from the Bible, you know, there's various Bible studies, VBS.
And there's a very bright sheepdog. Yes, that's me, a very bright sheepdog.
It is. Well, you know what, we're going to try and encourage the people, especially the kids that are 5 years old through, what, middle school. That's right. 5 years old through middle school, and you're going to love it here. We have people working on songs, and they have Imagination Station.
They do? What do they do there?
Well, they do all kinds of neat things with scientific gizmos and stuff. So what do you think of that?
I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation Bible School is the way to go. Woohoo!
I hope you kids will come to Vacation Bible School, the monumental VBS. And we're excited about having you register very, very soon, because it's sneaking up on us, just like I know Mr. Patrick is sneaking up on me.
Yep, the stage is set for Wolfer at the end of the night. So again, if you haven't registered your kids, do that. It's not too late. If you know someone, maybe this is the first time it actually the lights turned on, all right? And you're like, wow, you still have time. Show up today, 6 o'clock or so, okay? And we'll be ready for you. You can register, and it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a great time, all right? I think that's it. We have one song, and then I'll pray, and we go. This time we can stand. You can keep a beat like this. Come on, let me see. Let me hear you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, let's stand. Let me see if we can chew gum and do this at the same time. Watch. Stand. All right. Okay, now ready? So when the time comes, make it happen. VBS, we're all yours.
From his love, I'm convinced that there is nothing,
nothing, nothing,
nothing that can separate me from his love. How can we be sure Jesus is the cure for each and every sin sick soul? Can we trust the one who gave his only son? Can any broken heart be made whole? Look no farther than the day he died.
Well done. Hey, this is just a start, so I'll be in prayer for these folks here and every person will be here tonight serving, and pray for safety. Okay, sadly, one of these things that we're seeing in our day is this call for violence, and that's uncalled for. That's not right. We took precautions today on the way in. You may have seen one of our kids' own dad. He's a detective for Miramar, and he was here today representing, making sure. And we have a safety team in place, and we always take precautions here, but you never want to take it for granted. So we're grateful to the men who are part of the safety team. We're grateful for Pedro, who came and was shielded, ready to go and take action if needed. But we, again, nothing can really separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful to you that in uncertain times, you remain a certain God. You remain a sure and faithful God. And we're grateful to you for this time. Thank you for the VBS praise team. Thank you so much for their smiles and their just the hard work they've put in, and it's paying off big time. To you be the glory. To you be the glory. But may they walk away after this week just in knowing that they've served you and they've enjoyed it. And like them, every other person that's involved in VBS, there's folks in the different stations, and they're going to be teaching and helping and investing in the future, perhaps a future they'll never see, but they believe you for it. Lord God, dismiss us now with your peace and your protection. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. We are dismissed. Remember, if you're part of the VBS team, we need you here for just a few minutes.